Hi and welcome. This is Andrew from GManReviews.com and the Unnamed Movie Podcast. And tonight I have with me Kevin Carr from Fat Guys at the Movies and FilmSchoolRejects.com. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Andrew?
We're great. So what we're trying to do is we're going through a little experiment that I've been wanting to do for a while. We're doing a commentary of the film Push. So you should be seeing your film already. I'm seeing the Icon Productions here. I hope you guys are syncing well. I'm going to try and keep us in sync. It's now 10 years ago. I'm trying to keep you guys close so that you can get it right. And I guess that's all we can mention about being in sync. Holy shit, this movie is going to rock my world, I hope.
I hope so, too, because this has gotten a lot of buzz at Sundance, you know, the movie Push. And it's about this poor black girl who is overweight, and she's pregnant with her father's child.
Kevin, I have to stop you right there. I think you're mixing them up. That one was Precious, which I actually saw last night.
It was a very Precious movie, but it's also called Push. So it must be the same movie. And as I understand, the plot goes, she's pregnant with her father's child, and she's a psychic warrior as well.
So can I ask you, what is this white boy doing on screen right now?
He's psychically projecting himself as a white child to get out of the abuse, the cycle of abuse that is taking place in 1987 Harlem. Is this a period piece here? It's in the past.
It is, but I want to know who made those threads for 1979 or whatever year you just said, because holy crap, there's a gun, there are people in SWAT uniforms of today. This is a futuristic film right now. This is post-apocalyptic.
Yes, and you can tell that they're bad guys because they have the green lasers. Now, if you ever notice in movies like Star Wars, the bad guys always have green lasers and red lightsabers. That is how you can tell the bad guys. It's contractually, and the unions, the bad guy unions, require you to have green lasers.
But I think it's hilarious that in Star Wars, the good guys can have any other color they want. It's not like the good guys have to have yellow and blue. They can have whatever you want. Like, Sam Jackson
purple.
Got purple.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, this one is... what's funny is, when this movie came out, I actually kind of enjoyed this one. I thought it was a neat idea, but it didn't do very well. What did it make in the box office?
Oh, I'd have to look that up. Let me look that up right now.
I think it made about $7. It wasn't a whole lot. What's funny is this is distributed by Summit, which, if you don't know anything, Summit's sort of like what Lionsgate was, a couple of years ago, where it got all these independent releases, and then kind of like got a name for itself by putting out some cool movies. Summit has put out a whole ton of movies, and the only movies that have made money have been the Twilight films.
Okay, so Box Office Mojo says that the movie was made for $38 million. It drew in $31 million in the U.S.
That's just the U.S.? Well, that's actually not bad. I mean, because your international was probably around the same amount.
It's $48 worldwide.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll have broken even. When you throw in, when you throw in DVD and, television and all that ancillary stuff, and the fact that it's going to get a big Oscar push this year. Hey, look, Nazis.
I have to say, this dude playing the bad guy, I refuse
Juman
to
Hatsu?
Pronounce his name because I know that I'll get it wrong. He is like typical French accent African dude.
Yeah. Juman Hansu is how you say it.
Yeah, that's his name. I just refuse to pronounce it.
That's cool.
There are certain actors who are from certain countries who have certain names that I just know I will mess up if I pronounce it, so I try not to.
You mean like Yan Ziyi? The really cute Chinese
Well, that
girl.
One I actually know how to pronounce. That's Zhang Ji.
Yeah. she does not fall in that room. But people like Mel Gibson, you refuse to pronounce his name.
I refuse. And that dude who's in that other one who's in
Ben
Fight
Stiller?
Club.
No. Edward Norton or Brad Pitt.
The second one,
or as Bruno calls him, Bradolf Pittler.
I'll just know him as Lieutenant Aldo Rain. That's all I need to know.
Yes, yes. Killing Nazis. You know, I just saw Ninja Assassins, by the way, and
that is... Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah, because, sure, why not? Who cares? Come after me, Warner Brothers. Just try and stop me. But this Ninja Assassins was like an hour and a half of killing ninjas, which is what you sort of were promised with Inglourious Basterds. They promised like 2.5 hours of killing Nazis, and there was like maybe 12 minutes of killing Nazis. So I guess what I'm saying is, Inglourious Basterds, if Inglourious Basterds and Ninja Assassins had a child, that is what a perfect Nazi ninja killing movie would be. Which has nothing to do with Push, by the way.
Nothing to do. What are all these scientists doing? God damn it. They come in movies and they pretend like they're doing shit and they never do shit.
Well, they're sticking people with black crud, it looks like. You know what else? Have you noticed when people give a shot in movies, they dig it right into the elbow so it almost comes out the other end? That is not how you inject people with anything. Unless all you want to do is just cause them excruciating pain.
Well, I mean, this girl's dead, so...
Well, yeah.
Makes
but she's
sense.
Hot.
And now the ball is rolling. What the No, I'm serious. If this ball, like, makes someone trip and fall like I'm watching Roger Rabbit, it's going to be ended right here.
Well, you know, it does prove that this movie at least has ball. It may not have balls, but it has ball. So at some point, they have it. And she's trying to escape. But yeah, you know what? I don't remember what this ball is. It's sort of like a really lazy phantasm. Whereas Phantasm, the ball flew. This one just kind of rolls after her.
Holy snap. This is almost making me think of that movie. What was it? It was the Bugs Bunny film. I love Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny's awesome.
Who would play Bugs Bunny? Would it be this African dude that I will not say his name?
Yeah. First of all, nobody should play Bugs Bunny. The last thing you need to do is have a live-action Bugs Bunny in... If they did a real Bugs... Oh, you know what they would do? They would make a CGI Bugs Bunny. Which would be awful.
It would
be awful.
They
almost did that with Space Jam. 2 days from now. You know what's funny about this is when I saw this movie, it took place in March. Now it's taking place like at the end of the year.
Wow.
Because it was 2 days from when I saw it. Bad joke.
Push. This is Chris Evans, isn't it? Wasn't he that dude in that shitty Fantastic Four film?
Hey, don't diss on the Fantastic Four, man. I like
Fantastic Four.
Yes! And he was Johnny Storm. Not Johnny Bravo.
The fire dude.
The fire guy. As my 6-year-old calls him, the fire guy. He was Johnny Storm. He was also in Cellular. Did you like Cellular?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you know, you need a... That's the Citizen Kane of completely mediocre movies.
What I do love him in is Danny Boyle's Sunshine.
Sunshine's an awesome movie. I have yet to see a Danny Boyle movie I don't like. I mean, I've seen all of his... Not all of his... I've seen most of his movies, but, you know... They're all from different types. And they have nothing to do with this movie Push.
No, they don't. Except for the fact that what happens in that movie is what I want to happen to Chris Evans.
What, you want him to just burn up in the sun?
Every movie I've seen him in, I just want him to die for some reason.
You know what's funny about this movie is it's all about psychics. He's the shittiest psychic around. Isn't he supposed to be able to... He's able to move things with his mind, and he just plain can't.
Are you fucking kidding me? He can move shit with his mind?
He did earlier. He was moving dice, and then he can't do it here or something.
No, that was the dice rolling. He didn't move that shit, did he?
No, he did it with his hand. Are you not... Are we watching the same movie? Did you pop in Fantastic Four just to...
I thought I just saw him say flame on.
Well, what's funny is in the trailers at this scene in the trailer, it made it look like he wins the game. But in this version of the movie, well, am I spoiling it for anybody if you haven't seen this already? He blows it here. Which I'm like, why are you even important as a psychic if you can't make three dice roll up to what you need them to be? See, look, here he goes. There he is. He's doing it. He's doing it. Man, those are dirty fingernails. I mean, how shit?
Why
I could practically do this by farting on the dice. What? I'm sorry, I interrupted
you. Why are Chinese people always evil in films?
Well, that's because, I don't know. Because they're bad guys. Not Chinese in general. And they're just talking a billion people. These are just like seven. So, where is this taking place? I totally missed this. Is this Hong Kong?
Yeah, this is Hong Kong right now.
Oh, okay. Is this the same Hong Kong that was in Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li?
What movie was that?
Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
No, that movie doesn't exist, sir. Moving right along.
You just want to... Are you a gamer? You prefer the game of Street Fighter?
Oh, so much more.
Would you rather just be able to punch the movie itself?
I'd rather be able to punch that little girl who plays Chun-Li in the child version.
Wow. Oh, the little girl? Man!
Yeah.
You're mean. Punching children. You heard it here first. G-Man Reviews and the Unnamed Podcast. We're all about punching children.
As my friend Damien on the podcast continually says, it starts out as a Chinese girl and a montage changes her into a white lady.
Well, but she's not totally white. I mean, Kristen Kyuk is like at least half Chinese. She only lost half of her. Well, I don't know if she's Chinese. She's Asian, at least partially.
I don't know anything about cops. Always come in pairs.
Well, these aren't cops. These are the psychic. This guy's the sniffer. He's the one who can like tell the history of all the anything somebody touches. He can then smell it. He can tell the history of an object, which would be a really gross psychic power to have. I mean, how would you like that? Sit there and say, "Oh, hey, here's this dildo. Can you tell me where?" Oh, Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know.
So it's the lame version of Heroes is all you're saying? Or is Heroes the lame version of this?
I'm pretty sure Heroes is a lame version of Heroes myself. This one, you know, this one is sort of the same ilk as Heroes. I mean, you have like X-Men that people have these wicked cool powers and they actually do some wicked cool stuff with it. And here...
What happened? Wow. Heroes is just gonna send this one off the hell's hole. What the hell? And something has already gone wrong.
I'm here. I hit my mute button. That's my problem.
Oh, there I had thought something crazy had gone on, and holy shit, he's lifting a gun.
No, what freaked me out... See, look. He can levitate a gun, but he can't roll a dice. And he's trying to do some sort of trick. No, what happened, he started sniffing the toothbrush, and I kind of freaked out, and I rolled around and hit my mute button. And here's Dakota Fanning. Isn't this Dakota Fanning coming up to him?
Yeah.
And she's short. Which is why he can't see her through the keyhole. Or the peephole.
I still can't get over certain child actors growing up.
Well, there's that awkward stage. And Dakota Fanning... Although, you know what? I think Dakota Fanning's going to survive because she started out in the awkward stage. She's never been, like, adorable. She's always been, like... You know those, like, really ugly dogs that they take pictures of?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of what Dakota Fanning is. And, I mean, she's in that New Moon, which, you know, she's... I mean, she just fit right in because there was no acting in that movie at
all. I'm actually going to be seeing that next weekend, so I'm slightly looking forward to it because I want to make so much fun of all the people in the theater.
It's a great way to pick up chicks.
I'm going to go with a bunch of my friends. A couple are huge Twilight fans who I love to make fun of.
Are they ladies?
Yes, they are.
Oh, that's good for you. They're 13 then, is that what you're saying? No. I took my wife to see Twilight. My wife loves the books. God knows why, but she does. So,
I can't wait until Johnson & Johnson come back in this film.
Who?
Whenever I see two people come in, like, acting like cops / people searching for something as partners, I always go back to Die Hard when the FBI agents come and he's like, Secret Agent Johnson and Secret Agent Johnson. No relation.
Yeah, no relations. Yeah, exactly. So wait, what's her power? She can see the future by making really shitty drawings.
And she makes really shitty drawings to show everyone else what she saw.
They look like decorations at a bad strip club.
They had that character in Heroes as well. And it was a cute little girl.
In Heroes, I thought the guy who did the drawings was the old guy from like the Australian desert or something.
There was a guy who you see the thing in Heroes is they have like five different people who do the same power.
And they kill them off. They like introduce a person, and three episodes later they're dead.
And then an episode later they bring them back by some wonderful writing, which isn't Brian Fuller, so it isn't wonderful. Yeah. And I'm talking about Peter Petrelli.
Well, you know, the problem with Heroes, I will give this movie credit over Heroes, is it's one story, it begins and it ends. And we'll get to the ending at some point. But in Heroes, it's like they have a beginning and ending of a season, and then like the next season they just kind of forget about what happened the last season. They're like, well, we're just going to put everybody in new places. So, have you ever noticed in a movie? Now, I guess I'll forgive this because they are, in fact, in Hong Kong. But have you ever noticed in a movie, whenever somebody gets Chinese food, they always eat it with chopsticks?
I love chopsticks.
Well, but I mean, like, if you like watch like Ally McBeal, and they all order Chinese food because they got a big late case and they need to prep. Everyone has freaking chopsticks. No one's using a fork. And I'm like, really? Seriously? I've been to Chinese restaurants I've been to Chinese restaurants with friends of mine that are Chinese, and they use forks.
No, I think the thing is that 90% of the time in films, whenever people are ordering Chinese food, they're ordering to wherever they are. And 99% of that time, where they are is work or somewhere without cutlery. And whenever the Chinese people send their takeout, they send it with chopsticks, so they just eat it like that.
I've ordered Chinese takeout all the time. I am a fat guy, and I love Chinese food. I have yet to have Chinese. I mean, I'll get. What the hell? Oh, she's having a vision. Isn't this what's going
yes,
on?
Yes, and she just saw a crazy Asian dude with huge eyes, which freaked me out.
Well, I mean, she's in China, so you're gonna run into a bunch of Asian dudes.
So once again, keeping up my thought that all Asian dudes are evil in film.
He's evil. She's evil.
Does he have Astro Boy tattooed on his arm?
It's sort of like a Mickey Mouse version of Astro Boy.
Astro Boy is actually the Asian Mickey Mouse, if you didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was the Asian Pinocchio.
Because what happened was when the artist was designing characters, because it's a manga from like the 40s, and it's the first manga to be transitioned into an anime. It was done in the 60s, and he based it off of Mickey Mouse kind of characters.
Oh, just the design of the character?
Yeah.
Here come the eyes, man.
This
poor
is
fish.
So...
Did you? Those fish just blew up, man. That's like millions of dollars in fish right there.
So here's
the
question.
Budget.
Which is worse, having a shitty power like being able to scream and blow up shit that might be worse than every character in X-Men Wolverine, or having a better power like Chris Evans being able to move shit and not being able to use it properly?
Well, he threw some people against the toilets or whatever they were. Or
he
what's
threw
worse
some knives
those...
and they landed halfway through.
He's like, you can't even throw them that far. Well, nobody pushed two guys away. Hence the term push, I guess, is this. This is basically the Black Canary Sonic Scream, though, isn't it, from DC Comics?
I don't know that one.
Or wear those bad shoes. just...
Yes, come on, Chris Evans, it's time to die. Come on!
No, it's not happening. Now, wait, he, like, the fish just blew up, like, see, look, he pushed her under, I guess she's now insulated from, and there she goes.
And there's random girl being disappeared. Oh, she can see the future, holy fuck shit. This is crazy. Why are there two people who can see the future?
Because they have similar powers. They got two guys who can scream and their eyes squint out and all that kind of thing.
But and I'm just like, assuming they're brothers, so they got it together.
Well, no. They were you not paying attention to the credits of this? They have different types. They have people who can do telekinetics. They have people who can, like Camille Bell. Her power is she can make people believe certain things, which is also Jimon Hansu's power. They're like something like six or seven different types. What's neat was when I got the press pass for this, they gave me a little portfolio that like kind of described all the cool stuff, and I actually got the first issue of the Push comic with it, which was really kind of cool. And like I said, I enjoyed this movie to a degree. I mean, it's a little bit overly gritty, but it actually has a neat setup. So everybody,
there's a dirty fingernail.
Oh my god. You'd think those would just break off at some point. But it looks like he's kept them. Yeah. You know what would be great?
What would be great?
If she just took a shower, got completely naked.
By the Kevin Carr ruling, all movies are exponentially better whenever women get naked.
Yes. Well, the right kind of women. I mean, if you had Sandra Bernhardt and Rosie O'Donnell and Roseanne Barr in a buddy cop movie, I really don't want to see any of them naked. Unless I needed to throw up. So Dakota Fanning can keep her clothes on, at least for the next couple of years.
I think that's the oddest part about it. I think, for example, the girl who's in Harry Potter, like, when
Emma
you look
Watson?
At... Yeah, when you look at Harry Potter 1 versus Harry Potter 6, and
versus
I don't know
the,
how... I don't know how... How what? Old she is now? How old is she now? Is she 18 at least?
Oh, yeah, she's 18. And, like, the upskirt photos on the internet that I've heard about. Strictly heard about. she was wearing see-through panties. What the hell is you thinking going out clubbing with see-through panties? In Hollywood, if you're famous. I do it all the time, but I'm not famous.
Youth.
Yes.
Coming from a 23-year-old.
But this is a series of films where Dakota Fanning was doing to try and kind of grow up, because kids always do this when they're like in their teenage years. I mean, unless they got a show like, you know, Hannah Montana, and they're going to try and stay squeaky clean. But because what's her name from Princess Diaries? Anne
Lindsay
Hathaway
Lohan?
Did this.
Oh, no, Anne Hathaway.
She did like nude scenes. She did like Havoc, and she did where she was naked, and she was topless in Brokeback Mountain. So they always try and, you know, get a little edgy. And this was at a period where Dakota Fanning was trying to get some more edgier parts, because she does this and later on she gets drunk. And, again, spoiler. but
That's
there's also...
they've seen the movie already.
Well, yeah. Well, also, it's a commentary. Who's watching a commentary for the very first time, I guess? Hey, this girl's from Sons of Anarchy. Did you watch that show?
No, I've never watched that show. I've been meaning to catch up.
What it's one of those... Oh, this is him. I thought they were going to gang rape him here for a second.
Didn't you just say 2 seconds ago, no naked Dakota Fanning?
No, well, you don't have to get naked to rape. I'm just saying. Not from experience or anything. I'm just saying. That's just, you don't have to. It's, you know. And it's just, well, he'd have to get naked. And he's been naked in movies before. I really don't care about him naked.
Oh, and here comes one of the freakier parts of this film.
What? Oh, doesn't she heal him?
Yes,
oh, shit, I spoiled it again.
2 second spoiler.
Well, you know what's funny? She plays the doctor on Sons of Anarchy. So there you go. She... I guess this is connected in some way. But no, what I was saying about Dakota Fanning is this was a series of films that she did this, and then she did the movie Hound Dog, where her character did get raped.
I've heard of that. I haven't watched it yet.
I've heard it's awful. I've heard nothing good about the movie. Even if you don't like Dakota Fanning, because it all happens off screen, because she was like, what, 12 or 13 when she did it, and so it caused all this controversy, but it was ultimately a shitty film. And then she did The Secret Life of Bees, where her career just got punched in the face.
So she did in two movies what Christina Ricci did in Black Snake Moan.
Hey, Black Snake Moan was an awesome movie.
Black Snake Moan was only awesome because of Sam Jackson.
And Christina Ricci and her boobs.
You and this boobs thing. I mean, there is the internet if you need boobs.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'd say need boobs. It's not like I'm not like some heroin addict that I need to inject boobs intravenously into me. But I like to see a nice... And you have to admit, Christina Ricci has some nice boobies on her. She's got some fun.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
And I interviewed the director of that.
Black Snake Moan?
Yeah, and I asked him, I said, well, who'd you base this character on, and can I have her phone number? And his response was, he based it on himself, and I'm like, oh.
Did he give you his phone number afterwards?
No. He called me. I probably could have pulled his phone number off the caller ID. So. But I don't think he would have looked as sexy chained to a radiator in sort of a ripped-up top shirt and panties.
Actually, I honestly would think that if it was based on an original person, the original woman would not look anywhere as hot as Christine Ricci.
No, she wouldn't. She'd be it's white trash like, all the way.
It's kind of like Julie and Julia. After watching Julie and Julia, I'm not going to say anything bad about Julie, the real Julie Powell, but I looked up a couple posts on Julie Powell's blog and over the internet, and I found a few pictures, and let's just say she does not match up to Amy Adams.
Well, neither does Amelia Earhart, and Amy Adams played Amelia Earhart in The Night at the Museum. I mean, Amelia Earhart in Night at the Museum, adorable. The girl you want to just take home and, you know... And then Amelia Earhart in Amelia is barely a girl. So, there you go.
That's ridiculous, yes, that's right. By the way. That poster is up at my theater, and that movie looks like such horrible Oscar bait.
You mean Amelia? Oh, it's awful. It's Well, first, I mean, Amelia Earhart did some cool things. I mean, she was a cool person, but the movie's boring. But that's biopics, though. I mean, it's a good portrayal of Amelia Earhart, but... Amelia Earhart wasn't particularly photogenic. She wasn't a very good speaker. You know, so, I mean, she portrayed her really well as this mousy kind of, you know, closet lesbian. So
I prefer National... What was that movie with Ben Stiller?
What, Night at the Museum?
Night at the Museum. I kept thinking National Treasure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Different movie. Nicolas
different,
Cage.
Different movie. Which I found out the other day, the woman in it is Diane Kruger, who was in Inglourious Basterds, which kind of blew me away.
Yeah, Diane Kruger. She did a better job acting in... well, she's originally German, isn't she?
I guess so.
Yeah. So... No, they explained it. I think you missed it. They explained, it's his mom who was the one with the ball, who dropped the ball?
Yeah.
And she dropped the ball so it would stop the door, so...
Because she's a future
Camille Bell
person.
Could get out. Yeah, whatever they're called.
Future people.
Future people, I think, is exactly what they're called in this movie.
Yeah.
What a shitty drawing. You'd think that the person who would be gifted in being able to see the future would be able to draw better.
I think that's her curse, her gift and her curse. She can see the future, but she can't show it to anyone else.
What's great about this movie is they're like... Two white
There's
people.
Johnson and Johnson.
There they are. Well, they're like two white people trying to find the only other white person in Hong Kong.
And they can't find them.
And they don't, you know, it should be really easy to find because Hong Kong's not exactly a heterogeneous ethnic mixture.
Just stand up in this middle of the city and whoever else who you match eyes with, that's them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, is this about to turn into a rape scene?
No. No, he's sniffing.
This is so pervy.
This is kind of gross. I'm surprised he's not like, give me those panties. I want to find out where they've been. Oh, they've been wearing them. You've been wearing them. I mean, that's just what it's going to turn into. No, but she's pushing his brain. She's making him believe that, I don't know.
Yay, we avert another Kevin Carr 5-minute spoiler.
This is how I spoil it, and then I say, oh, oops, spoiler alert. So.
Sometimes, one thing I have to say about this movie, it makes me wish I had seen Hong Kong. I want to go to Hong Kong now, because everywhere looks so colorful.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you want to go to is Hong Kong changed all that much since it, I mean, it went back to China, what, like 10, 12 years ago or something?
I don't know. I have no clue what's going on in Hong Kong other than awesome kung fu movies.
That's what it's all about. It's just awesome kung fu everywhere. And really colorful buildings.
Yes. My brother actually went to China, Beijing, China, last year. And he was showing me some pictures of it. And it's insane how that place looks.
Was it awesome kung fu? Was there any awesome kung fu just happening? He's like, oh, look, there's kung fu fighting going on in the streets.
He saw everything else but kung fu.
Yeah.
So it's all a lie.
See, more drugs. I think this movie is just a just say no to drugs. Because aren't they all like, wasn't it from scientific experiments or something? See, now look, she's getting the fish eyes, making him believe something. Oh, that Johnson hurt his brother.
Yeah,
isn't this
Johnson,
what's going on?
No relation, Johnson. It's yes. Johnson versus Johnson, and Johnson wins.
It's Johnson and Johnson, which is not just baby powder, but it's also a team of psychic detectives.
And it's also a dick measuring contest.
Wow. Wow. Oh, he's pissed. He's like, you maybe
should. Did he lose?
Well, no, he's pissed because I think he realized he got completely taken on that one. Wouldn't it be great? He opens the door and there's this old woman taking a crap. Hey, what are you doing? Actually, that wouldn't be awesome at all. I don't know why I just said that.
Kevin Carr, guys. Kevin Carr. Classy guy.
I am elevating this commentary to, elevating is probably not the correct word for it.
For some reason, you can always tell in movies that aren't made to be huge action films, which are pretending to be action films, whenever there's a fight scene, and you can notice how the director tries to stay so close to the actors that you don't really care about the hits.
Well, they also do that because I don't think Camille Bell is a MMA fighter or anything like that. So they want to have her in the scene, you know, to raise equity in the scene, but she doesn't know how to fight necessarily. And there's Johnson. Another Johnson bites the dust.
Have you ever seen all these old kung fu kickers let's take a more modern one, like with Zhang Yi, there was House of Flying Daggers.
You know, I haven't seen House of Flying Daggers, although I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've seen Hero.
I really love it. Anyways, the main story. She was what?
She was in Hero, wasn't she?
Yes, she. Wait, I can't remember if she was in Hero. Maybe. I think so. Anyways, the point I'm getting at.
Yes.
In 90% of the stories of people getting into kung fu cinema, they will all tell you that none of them knew kung fu other than the Jackie Chans and Jet Lis.
Yeah.
But you'll only have one of those in every film, but you have to have 10 fights, right? So
yeah.
Everyone else who doesn't really know kung fu, they teach them on the set.
Well,
and becomes a dance choreography, more or less.
Well, it's like Rocky. Sylvester Stallone was not a boxer. He didn't know anything about boxing. But by the time he did, like, Rocky 3 and Rocky 4, he's like, yeah, I could probably do pretty well in the ring. I learned enough from the movies.
And he could do amateur boxing.
And apparently Chris Evans learned a little bit of psychic powers after
this. And what makes me really afraid is he's going to be in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Well, and Dakota Fanning used her psychic powers to look in the future and say, I got to get a job on the Twilight movie. Why is the guy she knew from Smash Mouth driving them in the cab? That's what I want to know.
It's the world of cameos, my man. For you, you just had an awesome moment in film because you noticed. Yes. Well, right now, all I'm doing is seeing the entire of the scenery in the reflection, going like, why is Moby in China?
Well, it is that.
Like, see.
What the hell is.
He's there, right there, Moby.
You mean the picture in there?
Yeah, that's Moby.
Oh, it is?
Oh, wait, no.
That's not Moby.
It's the African dude.
It's the dude. But what was up with the eye?
I guess that means that he can do the force mind thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe this Johnson guy, he looks a little Moby-ish. He sort of looks like Moby's older brother who couldn't make it in music.
They couldn't get past that accent.
Yes. And there's because this dude, he can project thoughts into your mind. And that's why he's got this henchman here, this blonde henchman who can, you know.
This one henchman reminds me of the guy from Dollhouse, the security dude in first season.
Yeah, you know what he does? He sort of looks like a mix between that and did you ever watch Eli Stone?
Eli Stone, I don't think
With Johnny Lee Miller?
No.
Yeah, he was he kind of looks like the brother of Eli Stone in this. But was he in did you see the movie Duplicity?
Yes, I did.
He was this guy here, wasn't he one of the bankers at the very, very end, or one of the Swiss bankers determining whether the formula was working?
I have absolutely no clue.
Yeah.
I only remember the big names in that movie.
Yeah, the big names. People like Jeremy Piven. No, I don't know.
Who I always remember from that movie and love, I don't even know his real name. I know him as Scott Templeton. He's the guy who directed The Visitor, and he played this role in The Wire, called character called Scott Templeton in the last season of The Wire. You don't watch The Wire, but no. You've seen. You saw 2012 recently, right?
Yes.
He was the guy, the plastic surgeon who married Amanda Peet.
Oh, Gordon. Him, that guy. Dad number two.
Yeah, dad number two.
Yes. See, look, this pisses me off. It's a freaking strip club and they're not naked. And I know we can go to the internet and get nudies all you want, but I want to see nudies.
You know what I find really interesting? So far, any character who has dialogue and will affect the plot is not Asian, even though we're in Hong Kong.
Yeah, everybody. Again, all you have to do to find the psychics is the people who aren't Asian. Look, all these other people in this, they're just Asian business dudes getting lap dances and martinis. See, look,
she was in Sunshine.
Who was?
This guy here in the suit. He was in Sunshine.
Yeah, he was. You're right. He's been in a bunch of stuff. See, she's already trying to
Were you talking
drink.
About boobies again?
No, I was pointing out that she's already trying to drink here. She's trying to get some booze. And, wow, some of the worst pictures ever.
The worst part is those pictures would sell for $5 billion in some art gallery somewhere.
Especially if Dakota Fanning actually drew them. Although, you know what, there is one psychic who does show up, because Ming-Na's in this, and she's later on, she shows up, and she's Chinese. So,
She has 1.5 minutes, right?
Yeah, she's in there for, like, nothing. Speaking of somebody, I wouldn't mind seeing her boobs. She's in her 40s, man. I'd still bang her. She's hot.
Oh, I always say the oldest and hottest lady to be in films that I need to see naked is Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek, she's good looking. Although, you know, you could do better with Monica Bellucci, because she actually does nude scenes. Monica Bellucci's hot. That's all there is.
She was in Shoot 'Em Up, wasn't she? She was the girl in Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah. And she was
I love that scene.
Tears of the Sun and the Matrix sequels, and But you know, the American stuff. You don't get the American stuff with Monica Bellucci. Get the French stuff, the Italian stuff she did, because that's where she's naked everywhere. It's sort of like what's the woman who won the Academy Award, Marion Cotillard?
Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, she shows up. She's one I don't like to pronounce her name because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. But you know, she was in like A Good Year, and she was obviously in whatever the movie she won the Academy Award for.
Public Enemies.
That nobody would remember.
She was in Le Vion Rose.
Yes, yes. And, but her French films, she's like nude in like everything. I mean, totally nude, which is awesome. That's all I have to say. Because she's an idiot.
So finally.
Boy. Oh, there she is.
Asian characters who speak. I think this might be like the second time in the film Asian characters have spoken.
Well, the guy's running. Oh, she's a sniffer. Now that just makes her gross. I mean, seriously, how many items in this world do you actually want to sniff?
I think what's the funniest part about it is when you pick up an item that normally wouldn't be used for things you wouldn't want to sniff.
Yeah,
you see that.
Yeah, where has this hair brush been? She's like, oh, you're on a boat. Oh my god! Oh my god! She throws it down. This is disgusting. You must be chafing. Yeah. I want to know why she's wearing my mom's drapes from the 70s.
Asia never caught up with fashion.
Yeah, because it doesn't match anything in her lair. I need a lair. I need to get a lair. It would look way cooler than this, because there would be boobs everywhere. That's all there is to it.
I imagine you in a lair right now.
I'm sort of in a lair. You don't want to know where I am. You don't want to know what I'm wearing. Or not wearing. You know what I noticed in this movie? All the people who have psychic powers, well, the girls, have just the crappiest Hannah Montana nail polish that I've ever seen. Because it's one thing for Dakota Fanning to have crappy nail polish, but Ming-Na's got crappy nail polish. The chick from Sons of Anarchy's got crappy nail polish.
And then whenever we find male Asian characters, they all have dirty, horrible fingernails.
Well, Chris Evans has dirty, horrible fingernails. He picks his nose or something. I'm just guessing. I don't want to get sued by Chris Evans' people. Why is George Bush holding his hands up in the picture behind her? That's what I want to know.
Because he's given up to the Asians. Hey, did you watch this week's Saturday Night Live?
No. No. Was that the one with January Jones?
No, it was the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There's this amazing sketch at the beginning when they do their political sketch with Obama and the Chinese Prime Minister talking, and it's downright hilarious. I need to send you a YouTube link if I can find it.
I saw people tweeting about it, said that that was a good episode. I heard that the January Jones episode was awful. But
I don't usually watch SNL that often because I really don't care for the sketch comedy they do nowadays. But once in a while, dependent on the guests, I'll watch it. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt I had to watch, and his episode was pretty good.
See, the thing with Saturday Night Live is I don't watch Saturday Night Live at all anymore. I just wait for people to say, oh my god, this sketch was great, and then tweet it out. And that's when I watch it. So then you just get the... You don't have to sit through an hour and a half of it. So... Oh, see, here's the meeting of the minds. Oh, wait, no, these aren't them. These are different people.
They're Asian people.
That's right, so they're obviously not the people who have psychic powers.
Because so far we've only met one Asian person with psychic powers so far, right?
In Asia! That's the crazy thing! It's like, I mean, the only Chinese person who has psychic power, and you're in China, for crying out loud.
You know who needed to be in this film?
Mark
Bai
Singer.
Ling.
Bai Ling. I love Bai Ling. She is so trashy. Oh my god, she's like a massage parlor handjob girl. It is awesome.
She was that in Crank 2.
That's right, she was. I love, see, you know, this is the thing, I don't know if you know this about me, probably do. I love the trashy girls. You know, the like Camille Bell, she's pretty and all. Give me like Gina Gershon on crack. That's what I want. So, yeah, bye, Ling. Yes. That's all I have to say about that.
More trashy Asian women who will give massages. No, special
doesn't
massages.
It doesn't have to be Asian. Dude, I just went on, like, what, 20 minutes ago about how awesome Christina Ricci was in Black Snake Moan. You don't get any trashier than that. I mean, she is the mudflap girl on the, you know, on the back of trucks when you're driving around. What I love about this sort of this market scene is all the food is like real normal food. It's like mangoes and bananas. Where's like the chicken heads?
As I said, my brother went to Beijing last year and he took pictures of this marketplace in the evening. Apparently every evening it opens up for everyone and you can find anything there. He had pictures of fried milk. Sheep's testicles, of seahorses, which I have to tell you, for a long time in my life, thought was one of the many fictional creatures given to me by Disney. like, I didn't believe seahorses existed. They were just too insane looking.
They're freaky. I've seen them in the sea. Well, yeah. And you know what's even creepier about seahorses? The males carry the eggs.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the males are the ones who carry the eggs and in a pouch.
And he had pictures of him eating like fried scorpion and crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And he said by the time he found where the cooked dogs were, he ran out of pictures. Wow. So he didn't have any more.
Yeah. Well, no, I knew somebody. I used to work at CompuServe, which is, you know, online service. I don't even know if it's around in any sort of major way anymore, but it used to be a big competitor for AOL. And I knew the guy in international marketing, and he'd say, yeah, he would go to these international places. And he just said he just didn't ask what he was given to eat. He's like, somebody, like, did you ever eat dog? He's like, probably. I just don't ask. And then there was a place where I went to college in Bowling Green State University up near Toledo. And, this guy plays on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He plays one of the McPoyles. Do you watch It's Always Sunny?
I'm actually recently catching up with the show. I, like, have three more episodes to catch up with this season.
Yeah, well, he's one of the McPoyles. I love the McPoyles. They're so creepy. They make me want to bathe.
The waitress.
Yeah, you know, she's really married to Charlie. In real life, she's Charlie's
really?
Wife, yeah. Which is, I think, hilarious.
I found out that Sweet D is married to Mac.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Mac is, like, the real creator of the show, which I found interesting because he's, like, one of the least funny people.
Well, are you on season... What season are you on? Are you almost caught up?
Season 5. I'm in season...
I like Mac. I mean, I think Mac's funny. I mean, did you see the one where he was doing his video series of himself doing stunts that, like, sending himself
yes,
on fire?
Yes, I did.
Have you seen the Christmas episode? The Christmas directed
DVD?
No,
I haven't seen the Christmas episode yet. I'm building up to that.
Absolute brilliance. Speaking of animals that you don't want to eat, there was, when I went to school in Bowling Green, there was a... Chinese restaurant, and I think it was called the Shanghai something or other. I forget what it was. No, the Phoenix Palace. The Phoenix Palace, I think that's what it was. And the health department shut them down for having, quote, unidentifiable meat. I've eaten there before.
Continuing on this, my brother went to China story. They went to China, it was a group of them, and they were going around for a couple of days, and one day one of the people in the group just said, do you notice we haven't seen a dog anywhere?
Well, dogs are illegal in China, aren't they? Except for at restaurants.
Are they? I just thought it was insane to say that. And also, in Jamaica, whenever I'm driving around and I see like a dead dog or cat on the street that got hit over, I always just say to I see it's not a lot, it's not so abundant that I feel bad about it, but you see it like every 2 weeks I might run up on one on the street.
Really? See, for us it's just like raccoons and squirrels. I live in Ohio.
And every time I run up, I find one of these dogs or cats on the road, I always think, how close is the nearest Chinese restaurant and which one I should not go to for the next couple of weeks.
Wow. I don't even know how to respond to that. Speaking of unidentifiable meat, about Chris Evans.
Oh, another crappy love scene that they just throw into the film for no reason at all.
You know, I have to say, this doesn't hold up in the second viewing. You know, ooh, grab her butt there, that's cool.
I know you want the rated R version of this movie, man, but be patient.
Be patient for what? Nothing happens. It's not like one they have some full penetration like in 5 minutes on this movie.
Don't worry, one day they'll release the unrated cut, which will have the 15-second moment of showing you her ass or something. And by her, I'm not talking about Dakota Fanning, who's now on screen.
This Asian chick. Oh, no, she's got powers. She's Asian.
That yeah, she's a future person.
She's a future person. But she's cute.
You see, here's the thing I have a problem with all of these movies and TV shows like Heroes and this. Well, Heroes kind of does it, so it's better off than this before it got really crappy. In this movie, they give people these simple powers, and they can only do this one thing. But unlike really cool shows which try to play with it, where they allow them to evolve the power into something bigger, they don't. It's just like, yeah, you have this power, and you can be good or bad at it. But there's this anime I love to watch, and I doubt you've seen it. It's really a kid's show, but fuck it, I love it. It's called One Piece. And it really hands out like the silliest of powers to each person. Like the main character, his body is like rubber, so he can extend as much as he wants and craziness. But eventually as it goes through the show, you'll see he learns how to expand his bones as well as his body, and it becomes ridiculously awesome. While in this show you just feel like he has a power, that's it, fall asleep.
If I had the ability to move things with my mind, even if it was all self-serving, I mean, he's living in a slum in Hong Kong, for crying out loud, you know. And here's Dakota Fanning. She's just using it to recycle a lot and get drunk. She can see the future. You'd think that she'd do something productive for herself by seeing the future. You'd think. You're right. There are those drapes again. Looks like that's where Ming-Na got her outfit.
No, you see, I know exactly. I can explain it to you perfectly why China has all these drapes. What happened is, you Americans exported all of your 70s fashion to them in the 90s when you got tired of it, and they just use it because it's cheap.
That's actually true. I mean, that actually is true. There is, if you watch a lot of like Asian cinema, it's a couple of years behind American fashions. It sort of like takes a while for the lag has shortened up a lot with the internet and the availability of movies. But back in the 70s, like, you watch movies from the 80s that were made in like Hong Kong, and they had sort of 70s fashion. So, you know, you actually are absolutely correct on that to a degree. Not that Asian people are cheap.
No, I'm cheap in the efficient kind of way.
Oh, okay.
I really want those screaming Chinese people to die.
We should just lift that quote out of it and just put it out there. So you just sound like the like worst person in the world. I just wish all those Chinese people would die. Those screaming Chinese people.
No, I think that's like the lamest thing ever. They scream, therefore things explode.
Yeah, well, again, it's not a terribly productive power. How do you practice that? I mean, it could be just Ella Fitzgerald in the Memorex ad. If you remember that, Chocolate Glass. Do you ever see that ad?
Yeah.
I might be dating myself on this one.
You are dating yourself, but I have YouTube those kinds of things.
Yes. Flashback to the first scene from Precious, the novel Push, based on the novel Push.
Where is Monique?
I think Monique's playing the Asian chick in this one.
I tell you, that woman is one hell of a method actress.
Who, Monique? What do you think? Yeah. Did she get drunk, hop on welfare, and let her boyfriend abuse her daughter just to get into the role for this movie?
I think so.
You heard it here first. Wow. Again, the only white people in this entire marketplace, and the
they
psychics.
Be phoned.
You know what's here? I got a great fun. I got an awesome psychic story. I have a friend. I used to work with her, and she's let's just say she's eccentric. She's really cool, but she's very eccentric. And she got a job as a psychic on a psychic phone line thing, and. I called her for something, and she's like, "Oh yeah," and she was telling me this. Oh, I did this, and she goes, "Yeah, I wanted to give you a call a while back, but I forgot your phone number." And I'm like, "Aren't you a psychic?" You
know, it's always like those Miss Cleo ads. Like you can always just laugh at them, knowing that they're bullshitting you.
Oh, it's full. She's Jamaican, isn't she?
Hey, don't get me started.
Well, I mean, that's what they are going for that. No, they're going for hate. I don't know what they're going for with Miss Cleo. But I'm pretty sure she's
authentic Jamaican.
Sometimes
I always get confused as to which one they're trying for, Haitian or Jamaican, because you guys seem to always have it wrong.
You don't know anything about Jamaicans. Come on. See, look, he's levitating guns now.
Like, he's finally able to do it because he's angry.
Yeah. Here's an interesting story. I took my son to see this movie because he wanted to see the Psychic Warriors. And he was like bored through this, and it's like we're like an hour into the movie already, and he had to go to the bathroom right at this point. So he goes to the bathroom, and this is like the one of the two really awesome fight scenes in it. So he goes to the bathroom and misses the whole thing.
Oh.
So I may have to show him this since I rented this video. I may have to show it to him.
I don't know. I might have told this to you already, but in Jamaica we have intermission during our film showings.
Even for like a 2-hour movie?
Every film shown.
Really? Why?
Because I think the main reason is that the theater makes more money because people get up and go buy food. I don't, but people do.
Just because they tell you. How long is the intermission?
Tends to be like anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes, dependent.
You mean even like the Nightmare Before Christmas, which is like 75 minutes long, that's
yep.
going to get an intermission? You're
yep.
kidding me.
The only times I've ever gone and there hasn't been an intermission is when it's been like a special showing, like when I went to see the premiere of The Dark Knight, which happened 3 weeks after America got The Dark Knight. And I had to pay 3 times the regular admission price because it was, like, a charity thing. They didn't show intermission because that wasn't controlled by the theater. That was someone bought out the theater and played it. And when I went to the premiere for the digital 3D that came out here this year for Ice Age 3D, that was without thing. But I had to sit through an hour of a talk from the theater about their plans for digital 3D.
Well, what do they do with a movie like a movie that's like 3 hours long? Like what do they do with like Benjamin Button? Did they give you like 2 intermissions?
No, they give you one. They let it play for an hour and a half, an hour 45, and then you get 10 minutes of going around doing whatever, and you come back and they play it. What I find more hilarious is when, like as you said, a 3-hour movie. Like for example, I went and I saw Blindness in a theater. I think that's like. Anywhere between 2:45 and 3 hours, I can't remember.
And it's not that long, is it?
I think it's really long. Let me double check, but it is one of those movies that's like that. And it feels like the intermission is so short because they're like, we have to get you home. We want to get out of work.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Now we're into the wicked cool psychic fight sequence. How lazy of a psychic are you to shoot a gun with your mind? It's not like a gun's hard to shoot. You know, it's not like you have to rip a wall off with your mind or something like that.
I think the funniest part is that if it wasn't for this scene, Chris Evans probably wouldn't have realized how awesome his power is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the funny part about it is I remember when the movie was coming out, this was a scene they released online as like an advert for people to watch, to be like, come and watch this movie. And I could tell from that alone that this would be like one of maybe three cool scenes.
Yeah. Well, this is, I will say, you know, this is a pretty awesome scene. The CGI doesn't quite hold up as it did, it because this isn't optimized for video. This is optimized for the projection.
Just remember, Kevin, this movie cost more than District 9 to make.
Well, District 9, I think, was a smarter made movie.
I'm talking about the look. Not even talking about the story, the look of it.
Well, it doesn't like cost any money.
How cheap this movie looks compared to District 9.
Well, but you can't blame the story. I mean, the story doesn't mean... You can have all the budget in the world. You can throw $200 million at a screenwriter and may not get a good script.
No, but that's, I mean, that's the thing. I'm not talking about the plot or the story. I'm talking about the look.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you.
I think that's the thing District 9 has done for me now. Every time I see a huge budget action film that cost $500 million and it doesn't look as good as District 9, I just remember that movie cost $30
million. Well, part of this also, Dakota Fanning cost money, Jimon Hansu cost money, Chris Evans cost money, Ming-Na cost money. The guy from McPoyle, he had to have cost, you know, at least $50,000. Camilla Bell probably costs money. I mean, you probably got at least $10 to $15 million wrapped up in the cast of this movie alone. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
District 9 had nobody. There was nobody famous in District 9.
And all of them acted better than this dude.
Yeah.
Who is just holding his hand like Darth Vader. There was this video online, I think. There was a video online of a little spoof of Darth Vader where there's another Dark Lord on the Death Star with all in pink is a lady, Darth Vader. And he's like all nervous around her and he's trying to show off and then he does the hand thing and strangles some guy to get her a drink. It's hilarious.
Well, you know, speaking of Darth Vader, you do point a problem with this story. What were the powers that Darth Vader had? He basically had the powers that Chris Evans has, and he could see in people's mind and that sort of thing. So he had the power that Dakota Fanning has. And he became a freaking Sith Lord. And these two can barely hide in a Hong Kong hotel.
With 70s fashion, let's not forget.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. This movie does not hold up. I enjoyed it to a degree when I saw it, but yeah, it doesn't quite hold up. You know what would make this movie better?
Boobies?
Yes! Yes. Boobies.
Chris Evans, you will not get boobies. It's PG-13.
Yeah. Well, you never notice in a movie like this, like whenever there's a woman sleeping, she always sweet. She never snores. She never farts. He kisses her when she wakes up, and her mouth does not taste like a dead cat. You know. Or maybe he does and he's into that sort of thing.
I always think of, there's this episode of Scrubs in the last season where this woman had surgery and Turk tells her that she can't leave until he knows everything is working, so she has to fart.
I remember that episode.
I won't fart. It's just hilarious.
Yes, yes, that is a great episode. But it's true. I said to a friend of mine, because you look at hot chicks, like you look at Camille Bell, she's pretty, she's very attractive. But you know, in every hot chick, there's 1 to 5 pounds of human feces. Just think that next time you're looking at a hot chick walk by. You're like, she's storing 1 to 5 pounds of shit inside of her. That'll take the gloss off of it.
I think what got to me about the whole feces thing was when someone first explained to me that when someone dies, all their muscles loosen up, including the ass, so therefore it just comes out, and that just kind of freaked me out when I first heard that.
You do have rolling brownouts when somebody does die. Well, did you learn that from South Park?
Yes, I did.
That is what happens with Chef. Chef did that. That's how you can tell he died.
And then when I was reading the Preacher comic, it was hilarious. There, have you ever read Preacher?
No.
There's this one backstory that they tell of the brothers whose names I can't remember right now in the Deep South,
I think they're McPoyle.
They might be the McPoyle version of that story.
She's sniffing. Where they, what's she sniffing now? I'm sorry, I'm actually looking at the movie. She's sniffing something.
I'm barely glancing at it. No. Oh, it's a key.
Yeah, key. You don't want to know where those keys have been. Somebody probably scratched themselves.
We need to find the key master.
Yeah. The gatekeeper. I'm sorry. Anyways, what were you saying about this comic you were reading?
There's this one scene where they actually hang someone, and there's this one like New Yorker dude in the South there with them, and he's just standing under the dude who's just been hung. And they just ask him, have you ever been to a lynching? And he's like, no, why? And you just see poop start to fall on him.
Quality poor. And I thought I was raising the quality of this commentary.
I think it's safe to say that we've given people the R-rated version of this film.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're already talking about rolling brownouts and... Yeah, how much poops in a hot chick? Speaking of hot chicks, see this lady here? She's probably got about 2 pounds of poop in her. And she's eating that spicy Hong Kong food, so you know it's not a pleasant sight. Not that any kind of poops is... I mean, no one sits there and poops it and they're like, oh, isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful.
Once again, another poop moment brought to you by Kevin Carr.
That's right. What's funny is if you look at boob and poop, it's upside down of itself.
No, you've ruined the English language for me.
Not really a palindrome, but it's sort of if you turn it upside down. And that is my obsession on both, you know. Dick poop and fart and jokes boobs. And boobs. That's all I want. So that's why I like, you know.
You're the Kevin Smith demographic then.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah, let's see.
Okay, bringing back another poop story, what did you think of that scene in Zack and Miri?
Oh, I thought it was great. And you know what's funny? This shows, again, this is me showing my true colors. When I watched that movie, I said to a friend of mine, I go, what's really funny is, because the character played by Katie Morgan, they're like, oh, will you do anal? She's like, oh, yeah, I'll do anal, but I won't do oral. And I'm like, actually, Katie Morgan will do oral. She just won't do anal. And somebody looked at me and go, how do you know that? I go, well, I saw an interview with her.
I actually did
once.
Not know that.
That is true. She won't do anal. Probably for the same reason that she doesn't want to shit all over the cameraman. Here's another great Katie Morgan story. We did an interview with Katie Morgan on Film School Rejects. And... she or it was either an interview with her or something. We did a lot of coverage for Zack and Miri, and so she actually linked to her tag page on Film School Rejects. So she had gone to that page and linked to it on her blog, and like one of the first one of the first articles was a Fat Guys at the Movies post, because we were obviously reviewing the film. And what's on that is a picture of me naked. And I now can tell people that not only have I looked at nude pictures of Katie Morgan on the webs, she's looked at nude pictures of me, which is quite awesome.
And you are quite proud of this, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. I share that with my grandparents when I, you know, see them at the Thanksgiving dinner.
They're like, you share something in common with porn stars.
Well, yeah, but no, the thing is, a porn star has looked at my naked picture on the internet, which I think is hilarious.
I think what you have to think about now is, did it turn her on?
I'm sure it did. She linked to it. Linked to it from her own website. God bless you, Caden Morgan. This girl sleeps all the friggin' time. What is up with her? Is she narcoleptic or something?
Like, the two things that I think are hilarious in film is whenever you see people eating and whenever you see people sleeping. Because the thing about film is people have to do, like, 50 takes of one shot to get it right. Or to get the director happy 90% of the time. And whenever you see people eating, I always imagine them having to actually film it that day. And the actor, after the third take, being like, I cannot eat anymore, and spitting it out every take. Even though it's something amazing that you would love to eat, like lobster thermidor or whatever.
Well, in the movie American Pie, there's a scene where they all eat a bunch of hot dogs. And they're just eating, they're not like it's a hot dog contest. They go to lunch and they get some hot dogs and they eat it. And they were talking about that they ended up having to eat like a dozen hot dogs throughout the course of the morning. And then if you ever watch Boy Meets World, that's the best one to watch because they pick at their food. Like, they'll have all these lunch scenes, and they'll just, like, take real slight sips. And if you watch them, they just don't eat much at all because, like I said, they have to do the scene a couple times.
It's quite hilarious to me. And I found that out via Ocean's 11 commentary.
Oh, God, because they eat through the whole frickin' movie.
Brad Pitt apparently suggested that his character should eat all the time, and by the end of the film, he hated the fact that he had made that suggestion.
Yeah, well, good for him, because it's annoying as hell. Jesus Christ, man. Chomping on potato chips. It's annoying! I loved Ocean 11, don't get me wrong. And the same thing, well, actually, I think it was even more annoying in Ocean's 12.
Yeah. I think it's an amazing thing. I love it. I even love Ocean's 12.
Oh, Ocean's 12 is good. The only problem is the whole Julia Roberts scene.
I love that scene.
It went too far.
When Bruce Willis comes in, it's awesome.
Back to awesome. In this movie here, apparently
He's written down what everyone needs to do, and he's going to make everyone forget the
plan.
That's
right, because he's going...
So that when it's their turn, they open the card, and they know what they need to do, so the future person can't tell what they're going to do, because they don't know what they're going to do.
The future person, a.k.a. the only other Asian lady with powers in the entire...
We found two Asian people with powers in this film.
Well, there's the only other Asian woman. The other guys who scream with the eyeballs and everything...
I wonder if this guy would ever be in film if it wasn't for Amistad.
Oh, he was in Stargate?
Yeah, but I mean, like, all of these other films that he's doing, like this, there's Blood Diamond, which is really
Diamond.
Good.
He did a good job in that. I gotta give him credit. He did a good job acting in that movie.
Stargate. Oh, he was also in that crappy dragon movie. Oh.
Aragorn. Can you name a good dragon movie? There's been... Aragorn, that was a shit movie. That was basically Star Wars.
Like, all of those movies is him being horrible or phoning it in or the movie being even worse than him. But whenever you think about it, he was in Amistad and Blood Diamond, and that will sell me on him being in a movie all the time.
He was in Never Back Down.
Watched that movie, and I'm trying not to.
You know, Never Back Down was such a shitty movie that when they did the online marketing, they took pull quotes from IMDb users. So they'd have the banner ad and be like, Never Back Down, greatest movie of the year, LL192 from IMDb. They couldn't even get Larry King to give a quote. I know. I got a friend of mine who's a quote whore who shows up on video boxes all the time. They couldn't even get a quote from him. Isn't that terrible?
I find it very scary whenever pull quotes are one word. Whenever you see something saying awesome by some dude at the New York Times, and I think to myself, I'm sure that article went, this movie is so awesomely horrible that it could not make anything.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll do that, you know. They sit there and say, turd sandwich, in a good way.
But don't they have to get the writer's permission to use their pull quote?
I've been quoted on a cover box once, and they did ask my permission.
But the question is, do they have to? Can they take your quote without asking you?
You know, I don't. I know for a fact that people will put it on there without notifying, but that's on like smaller, real independent. Because I've known people that are like, oh my gosh, I just found out I was on a cover box, you know, or something like that. I don't know whether they do. I think the bigger studios usually ask your permission.
Okay.
So they don't get screwed. But a lot of times the quotes you see are those that are just fed directly from the critic.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They,
I'm just
they
curious.
Don't actually come. They don't come out of a review necessarily. They're just, you know, the so and so will go to the junket. You know, Peter Hammond will go to the junket and say, you know, something like, yeah. Push, one of the greatest movies
again.
Ever. Yes, those nasty. That's right. This is him making him forget.
So, okay, this is like the... All right, this is number five. Fifth Asian character with power.
Yeah, and his power is that he can't clean or cut his fingernails.
I love anime, and there's other anime I watch called Darker Than Black, which is about people with powers, but every time they use their power, they're called contractors, and every time they use their power, they have to do something that as like a payment for using their power. So there's like one character where every time they use their power, they have to smoke a cigarette, and another person where every time they use their power, he has to kiss another man. And all sorts of craziness. It's hilarious.
Is it like? I mean, the guy who has to smoke a cigarette, is he like cigarettes or something? I mean, like for myself, I'd be like, oh, every time I got to use my power, I got to eat a piece of pie. Oh, damn it! I got to use my power. I got to eat a piece of pie. Oh no!
No, most of the characters who have to do things like that hate smoking or all sorts of stuff.
I mean, it'd be something like, oh, every time you use your power, you got to shove a dog turd up your nose. Okay, now that's the incentive against it.
But I mean, there are certain characters who, like, every time they use their power, they have to, they lose the use of their legs for 10 years.
Wow.
So I mean, it varies, but it's crazy and it's a fun show. I love it. So that's what this is now reminding me of. More anime that I love.
Yeah, you know what? That reminds me of just in terms of, you know, if there was such a consequence, because it's the same thing with this, where there's a scene the scene of a couple scenes back where they're. The guy shooting his gun using his mind, as opposed to just picking up the gun and shooting it. How lazy is that? You know, it's sort of like Dracula in the original Dracula movie, where he's like, go tell somebody he has a phone call. I mean, he literally sends a girl to go tell somebody that he's got a message so he can get somebody alone. And did you see the movie Jumper?
Yes, I did.
Which actually I kind of liked. I have to say I liked it.
Yeah, I like that movie. It's fun.
But there's a scene in there where Hans Christian Hayden Christensen is you know, he's at home and he like literally teleports from one cushion of the couch to the next cushion so he can pick up the remote. And I mean, how freaking lazy are you to teleport 2 feet to get to, and then he teleports to the refrigerator so he can get a glass of milk. What?
No, but you see, that's all about lazy filmmaking. They just want the movie to look so cool that they can't stop making them use their powers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this girl would be like, my psychic power, I'm going to draw a picture of what's for dinner tonight just because I'm curious. You know, oh, it's bratwurst and sauerkraut. Isn't that awesome? Or it's dog because I'm in Hong Kong, see? Ba-dum-bum.
So. Wow. We continue to class this up.
Yes, absolutely. and we haven't
Dakota
made yet.
Dakota Fanning looks like a Twilight fan right now, just to let you know.
She does. I mean, she totally looks like a Twilight fan, with guns and everything. Because all the Twilight fans came with their guns. You know what, I said there's a... But, you know, there are all types. Going to Twilight New Moon at an advanced screening was kind of like visiting people of Walmart.com. There was this one woman there, and this woman should... I mean, it's one thing if you're like a 17-year-old girl and you had a rocking body and you did this... Maybe, you know, this woman was twice as old as the 17-year-old girl and probably weighed twice as much as the 17-year-old girl. And she had a low-cut dress, and she had big breasts, but big breasts in the sense that when you get into your 30s, gravity takes its toll, and they no longer look like nice breasts. They sort of look like tongues hanging from your chest. And she had two tattoos of the Playboy Bunny logo on each boob. I don't even know.
Were they stretch tattoos, or were they like tattoos that looked like they were done yesterday?
You know, I think that Playboy Bunny was a little tall and thin. Because he was. Here's the Sons of Anarchy lady again.
Yeah. And the show finally showed me that people can do more than one thing with their power, which is cool.
Well, she just reverses it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. This would be a cool thing to have. But, you know, you would think, you know, she's, like, in crime. If I had the power to heal, why don't you just become, like, the really well-paid surgeon?
The Asians again.
Here they come. He's going to scream. But, I mean, she can't be... She's probably paid handsomely by the crime lords, but you'd think she'd just get a job at a hospital and be like, you know what? There's no scrubbing in, no anesthesia. There's... You know, I'm just going to come in and there you go. $50,000. Thank you very much.
I want all of the people who are about to die.
Yeah.
I will save your life for $5 billion.
Exactly.
Each.
You think you could, I mean, because she does it in like 20 minutes. If that, I mean, she probably, when she healed him in like, you know what, like a minute? I mean, and the amount of overkill of, you know, if he had to go to surgery for that, that would be like hours. She could just say, you know, I want the hospital. The insurance company pay me $50,000. It's cheaper than going into surgery. See, this is where people don't think. Soy sauce.
Well, I mean, they are in Hong Kong.
Exactly. Oh, they were duped by the good
Holy
guy.
Snap. Future lady got beaten by future lady.
Yes. Well, future girl and future lady. It'd be great if she answered the phone, yes. Can you hear me now?
Dakota Fanning should just be like, your future will be this, just to psych her out and see what she does.
Yeah. Hey, they're playing like Mahjong tiles.
I knew how to play Mahjong.
Oh, it's just easy. You just pick the ones that match and they disappear.
No, the actual gambling Mahjong that you see people playing Kung Fu flicks last night. No, it wasn't that. A couple nights ago, I sat down and I watched Thirst, and they were playing Mahjong, and that.
Oh, okay.
And, like, it just looks like a fun game to play.
I only know how to do it on the computer.
That, and there's this other Asian game which I want to learn how to play called Go. Have you ever heard of Go?
No. Do you mean the movie?
No, it's a game. It's a board game. They have a huge board, a square, with, like, I don't know how many spaces on it. Uh-huh. And everyone is given, like, one guy is given white tiles and the other guy is given black tiles. And you have to somehow encapsulate the other player with each play. It sounds really crazy, and it is really crazy, but I have no clue how to play it. I want to learn.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like I said, I can do Mahjong tiles and Spider Solitaire, and that's about where I end.
And now the girl is finding out that she was an assassin.
This is just like Total Recall. Just like Total Recall, except for the mutants. Except for the midget mutants. That's what we need. We need midget mutants in this movie.
And instead of Arnold, we have... The French African dude.
The French African dude. Yuman Hansu.
Thank you.
You know what? You got to hand it to him. He still looks good. I mean, he's got the suit and tie and everything. Unlike the McPoyle dude who was, like, in his flannel shirt and PJs. And, you know, Dakota Fanning, who looks like a 12-year-old hooker.
Well, I mean, he's pulling off the Michael Jordan. I meant to say Jordan.
Like, what the hell?
Where he shaves his head so as to make sure he always looks younger, because we never see his hair go gray.
Is that why Michael Jordan shaves his head?
I don't know. I guess it's that. No. I always assume that's why people shave their head, because I don't see any real reason for doing it.
You know, I started shaving my head a couple years ago, and I love it. It's so easy to do. I don't have to pay for a barber. I don't have to get an appointment. You know, I just it's gone. It's done. And I don't sweat in it, and it doesn't get gross.
All I have to say to you is right now you're doing it for whatever reason. I can't wait till, like, 5 years from now you think to yourself, you know what, let me let it grow out, and then you find all the bald spots.
No, I don't go bald. I just have a receding hairline. I'm like Bruce Willis. I'm just taking care of it right away. You know, just on my own. Not Bruce Willis from Surrogates, though. He had hair.
That was a bad movie.
I liked Surrogates. I enjoyed Surrogates. This was a year for sort of like crappy sci-fi that I ended up liking, like Push and Knowing. Did you like Knowing? That was another movie.
I love Knowing.
Knowing came out, I think it came out either the same week as this. It was weird because it was this 1-2 punch from Summit. And it did well. And I think Knowing is, with the exception of Twilight and New Moon, is the only movie in the last year that Summit has released that's done any good. You know, I mean, like, Astro Boy didn't do well. Sorority Row bombed. Sex Drive bombed, which was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, I love Sex Drive.
It was awesome. Ah, my pull quote was in the television ads for that. They had a pull quote from me. So
I'm attempting to see how well The Brothers Bloom did, because that was by Summit, and that movie's awesome.
Didn't do well. The Hurt Locker did okay, but, I mean, it got a lot of reviews, but I don't know how well it did financially.
Brothers Bloom only made $3.5 million in America.
Yeah, because they didn't release it. You didn't know it was released. It was like you showed up one day and it was in your, it was in the theaters, and you're like, the critics were like, huh? It played in Columbus. I couldn't tell you when it played, and we didn't get a screening. So here she is confusing her. And oh, isn't it she just has to make a decision? Wow, she's stumbling around like she's drunk again.
First of all, how do you think this will fool someone? Once you've made a decision, she can tell the future of your decision.
Well, the whole point is that they don't make decisions until the very end, and that's keeping her off her trail.
Oh, so the future person doesn't see the future, they just see what choices you make. So as long as you don't make a choice, they can't see it?
Exactly. Something like
that. So they're not future people, they're just like bad psychics. They're Miss Cleo in Asian form.
Well, you mean they're Jamaican?
No. Wow.
Go ahead, say it. Jamaican me crazy. Wah, wah, wah. Oh, more bad puns from Kevin Carr.
I applaud you, sir. I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That one takes talent.
Oh, wait, I remember this. This is the whole tiger scene.
Oh, I forgot what the whole tiger thing was about.
It was about candy bars, I think. Or soy sauce.
Actually, I was
thinking Chinese restaurant.
A little bit more R-rated in my mind.
What?
You see boxes with tigers on them, I think of, you know, oil exports, which are bad for people.
Oh, okay.
She poisons herself by drinking oil. It's probably soy sauce, actually.
It's probably beer. It's Dakota Fanning's little beer face. She's like, I want to get drunk. There's future girl. Or future lady.
So she's the tiger. Person. Zing.
She's the tigress. Rawr.
Whenever I think of tigers in movies, I always think of Scarface.
Huh? Was there a tiger in Scarface?
Yeah, he always wanted a tiger in his tank. You know, that ad from Esso, and eventually his friend gets him a tiger as a pet, and he has it.
Oh, yeah. They also have a tiger in The Hangover.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And
I've been meaning to rewatch that movie. I want to rewatch it.
Supposedly they're having an awards push. I got a award screener for like Where the Wild Things Are, which isn't a huge surprise. But they sent me an award screener for District 9. They're doing an award campaign for District 9.
And I hope it gets something because I love that movie.
It's a good film. Almost as good as I forget what your trigger point is on movies that people, because you like knowing.
I like knowing. Movies that people what?
That you hated, that just bothers you that people liked.
Oh, I'm generally okay with it. There are few cases where I can be an ass about it. And I think
Transformers.
Like it would be movies like Transformers or Twilight where people don't seem to have any logical reason for liking it. Like I mean, those movies in the middle, like maybe Jumper and Push, where people will end up adoring it. I'll be like, all right, whatever. But Transformers and Twilight, there is absolutely no reason why people should be loving those films. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
Even for like Transformers, people always tell me, Andrew, you're just being biased. You love Tarantino because of dialogue. So when you watch Transformers, you look at the action and you're like, this is lame.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to understand that the action in that movie is lame. And there are better action movies.
Yeah, oh yeah. Transformers and Twilight, I kind of put in the same ilk where they both make massive business and they have this fan base that I think only likes it because they're a fan base.
Yeah.
You know, they're not good movies, and they both movies could have done with about a half hour of edits in it taken out. So.
And you need to watch The Brothers Bloom. Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not. No, I thought they didn't send a screening to me, so...
Go to your rental store and rent it. Watch it.
I'll go do it right now. I'll see you later. No.
All right. I'll try and finish this up.
Yes.
We're back in the strip club. Wait, no.
It's not even a strip club. It's sort of like a casino with dancers.
It's a gentleman's
club. Usually
would
be a strip club, but there's no stripping involved in said strip club. This is as much of a strip club as Twilight or vampire movies. And a lot less sparkles.
I think another thing that annoys me with people watching movies are people who refuse to watch foreign films because they don't want to see subtitles.
Well, especially because you can put on, you can dub them on DVD.
Oh, that's even worse. But I'd at least accept that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I prefer subtitles, but it's sometimes... The reason I don't like reading too many subtitles is because I focus on the subtitle to read it. And I miss part of the action going on. It's not that I'm lazy, and I don't want to read it, but it's that I like to see the action. I like to see the acting, and I can't watch the acting if I'm reading. That's the reason why I don't like to read. But I mean, I'll watch. I don't have a problem with watching subtitles.
I think it's just me being used to watching anime because I've been watching subbed anime for like eons. Like, since I was, like, 12, I was watching anime subbed, and I've always been used to reading and seeing the whole film, more or less. I may miss a detail here and there, but generally I see everything.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess it comes down to the fact that 99% action scenes don't have a lot of dialogue in them, so you're not really missing much action-wise.
Well, yeah, an action sequence, you can watch an action sequence... with subtitles, yeah, because there's no subtitles except an occasional "Oh my god!"
Yeah, and in dialogue, it's not much. 90% of the time, people are just standing still or walking, and it's not really much to see.
Hey, look, Camille Bell's got hooker boots on. That's awesome.
She does.
I was trying to tie it back to the movie here.
She does remind me a bit of Monica Bellucci in Shoot 'Em Up.
like a younger. Less busty, Monica Bellucci.
Yeah, with smaller boobs.
Yeah. This is the big climactic battle sequence. That have you seen The Quiet? That's a good movie with I liked with Camille Bell. Didn't do very well, but I enjoyed it.
I have never even heard that name before.
Oh, it's a good movie. Check it out. It's different. Oh, look at all these people in the warehouse. It's a good thing they got somebody out there with the light switch, turning all the lights on at the right time to have the dramatic effect. Look, bad guys, because they got green lasers.
No, it's because they're Asian.
Only Asians have green lasers?
No, only Asians are bad guys in this movie. Remember?
Oh, that's right. And all the psychic, you know, the non-Asians have powers.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. Here he goes. He's blowing up shit with colors, apparently. I don't know what the colors of the dust was all about.
I know what it's about. If you've ever seen, like, have you ever watched not the Dragon Ball movie, but Dragon Ball Z, the anime, or any of those?
No.
Well, the thing with those is they have all of these power moves where they do, like, Hadouken from Street Fighter kind of stuff. And they distinguish it through all these colored powers. But whenever you move it to live-action film, it's kind of funny to see that. To see, like, lasers the size of your hands coming out. Yeah. So what they do is they make them see-through. And now, in order to display the action, they throw up all of these colors so that you can see it. They did it in this awesome Asian action film called Volcano High, which, if you haven't seen, it's a fun movie. It's kind of bad, but it's still fun to watch. It's hilarious to see some of the facial expressions in that. And this is just the same. Did you see that guy's face? He looked like he was slightly constipated.
Slightly, yeah. He could be. He may have been eating a lot of cheese on set. That's very possible. And now Chris Evans is back. Isn't that awesome? I mean, look at this. We need to have the white guy save the day, don't we?
Because Asians are evil.
That's right. And he's able to... And look, is he going to float his guns again? Jesus Christ, just point the guns and shoot. They're guns.
What advantage
did you get from them?
I know this is American cinema, so we have to be, like... They have to be, like, very racist and make all minorities the evil people, but come on. You're just setting
Hong
Kong.
Well, that's not that bad. Oh, now, hold on. Let's not paint that broad of a brush.
Give us a couple good Asian characters.
That's right. Well, Jackie Chan movies, he plays a good guy in that.
Because he can speak English. I'm being horrible for no reason.
This is a design flaw in this building. You know, people in glass floors. I like the fact that she's wearing hooker boots and a miniskirt, because when she runs up the stairs, you can see her uterus. It's awesome.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And now we have, since we're in Asia, we get to have a fight scene in bamboo.
Of course, because every Asian building is made with bamboo as the infrastructure. Not steel frame warehouses, but bamboo infrastructure. Because it's Asia, you know, and you're going to... And what's going to happen is when they cut to the city, they always go, dang, 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 dang. That's what they play the music. So you know you're in Hong Kong.
I mean, I think that's my favorite part of any samurai film, whenever they finally have the climactic samurai showdown in the bamboo.
Exactly.
In the bamboo grove.
I thought you were going to say your favorite part of the samurai movies is when they cut to the city and they go, dang, 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 dang.
No, that's...
It's sort of like whenever they cut to England and they show, you know, London, you always hear the dun 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 dun. When they cut to mariachi, you know, when they cut to Mexico, it's always da 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 da.
Don't you find it funny that no one in, whenever you're in Mexico in a film, no one has that Mexican horn sound that every Mexican has in America films? In America? Yeah.
Yeah.
Will he kill him? Will he kill him?
Oh, look, this guy screams too. Isn't that awesome? You get to hear more screaming.
Oh, damn it. After they killed the first screamer, they made another one.
No, no, that's their dad.
Oh.
More colors.
Why?
Well, this guy didn't plan this effectively. He's bringing down the... You know what? You build a house out of bamboo like that, you're bound to have some structural integrity problems comes screaming.
I'm sure when they wrote this scene, they were thinking of Rush Hour when Jackie Chan goes, "Bamboo very strong."
Ah, yes.
And then they tried it on set, and it just broke down, and it was too cheap. It was too expensive to make another one.
Yeah, good thing we were rolling film on that one, huh? Yeah, see, I told you, design flaw. This is all like a glass floor. That's a bad idea. Never make a movie with a... Never make a building with a glass floor. See, look, little hooker boots and that short skirt. You know what they need at this point? They need a musical number.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I love musical numbers.
You do. See, he can sing while he's beating them up.
I think we need more musicals in general.
I don't know about that. I blow hot and cold on musical. Like, I love Chicago. I thought Chicago was a great movie. And, you know, Sweeney Todd was pretty good, but there's other ones that aren't. Hairspray was surprisingly good. The Producers was awful.
Have you ever seen a movie called Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
No, I haven't.
It's quite an awesome musical, but it's really odd.
I am familiar with Harry Potter's Owl. Does that count?
Possibly. I really want to see Nine, though. I want to watch that movie.
Which one? The one by the Weinsteins is coming out, or the animated?
The musical one.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to keep the conversation somewhat flowing.
Oh, okay.
I've been meaning to watch the original that's based off of Federico Fellini's 8.5, but I just, every time I sit down to watch it, someone pulls me away for some reason.
Wow.
Please, Chris Evans is asking to kill himself. Let him do it.
What I find amazing about these movies is, I mean, look at her. She looks fantastic. And look, she probably spent like an hour getting ready just for this giant climactic scene. And he didn't even freaking shave. What a douche.
But he's supposed to be the beat up piece of crap.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I just stabbed my elbow joint. That was a bad idea. That's not where you stick a needle. Ow." Is he going to shit himself here? That would be awesome.
Well, I mean, these guys have all been constipated the whole film.
That's true. He's like, "Oh, I just crapped my pants." She's like, "What's that smell?"
And he's like, "Oh, let's go before we actually have to wash this off our clothes."
Yeah, he's like, you shouldn't crap your pants on a glass house like that. You know what's great about this is they just leave everybody there. The construction crew is going to shit their pants when they come in and go, "What the hell?"
When they walk in, they smell all the feces.
Yeah, they're like, "Where's our bamboo infrastructure? And why are all these people lying in poop?" Okay, this shot is taking way too long.
Yes, it is. She's alive. He's alive, huh? Crap.
Yeah, I know.
I know the movie only has 5 minutes more, but I don't want Chris Evans anymore.
Yes. Well, she's got an umbrella that's made by, like, old fat ladies at Walmart's pants.
I was actually going to say, you know, army people who got caught during Vietnam.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch, man! I'm just making fun of fat people at Walmart. You're going after the whole military.
Whatchamacallit. I watched this TV show from Britain, Top Gear, which is all about cars. I don't see it. It's hilarious. And during the first episode of the season, they interviewed Eric Bana, and he's from Australia. And
yeah, he is.
They make fun of the fact that it's so easy for Australians and English people to tease each other in a fun way. You know, they make fun of each other, but they can laugh about it, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But whenever England wants to make fun of America, America always goes crazy. Like, hey, no. Like, they mention you lost Vietnam, huh? America doesn't laugh at that.
Why does everybody go to the Vietnam thing? That was like 30 years ago. Like, because you lost Vietnam. That's like going down to the South and going, hey, you guys lost the Civil War. Bop, bop, bop. Gotcha, out of Bappa Mactics.
Because after you lost Vietnam, you guys decided you had to make Rambo 2 to make up for it.
Well, Rambo 2 was like 10 years after we lost Vietnam.
You're like, we want to forget that, so let's rewrite history and have one man kill the entire of the country.
Yeah.
Is there anything going on in this movie anymore?
She's got to open her envelope here. This is the big twist. Don't tell anybody what happens.
The red envelope.
She opens it up and she goes, "You two tickets. I love you two." She's pretty, but, you know, she was in that Roland Emmerich movie, 10,000 BC, and that movie was a giant turd sandwich, I'll tell you that.
I skipped that one. I haven't watched it yet.
Ooh, we've got the funk going on.
Hey, woman, that's Photoshop.
Yeah, that's the thing. Can you really believe a photo? Of course he's shaved in it, isn't he?
Yeah. It's from when he was decent.
He's like, this is when I met you on the set of Cellular. Hi. Hey.
I was doing a Danny Boyle film. It was quite good.
Yes. She's pushing him. Okay, that was a bad idea to make somebody shoot themselves on a plane. Oh, what, my gosh, we're over. We're done.
They're credits. Holy crap.
You're happy.
Yeah, because I didn't think I could make the whole runtime. I'd be like, oh, this movie's funny, but yeah, that's all we have to... But then we just filled it in with tons of crap.
Yeah, it works.
So yeah, I guess we can just say credits are rolling. Wow, thanks for joining me.
And thanks for joining me. It was fun. We'll have to do this again.
We have to. Tell the people where they can find you on the interwebs.
Oh, you can find me at fatguysatthemovies.com. I also do stuff for filmschoolrejects.com. You can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr and read more of me talking about poop and boobs.
Awesome. You can find me at gmanreviews.com, twitter.com/gmanreviews, and you can email me andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com anytime you want to send me anything. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this commentary. Let me know what you think about it so I know if I want to do more. It's something I've been really meaning to do for a long while.
Yes. It was fun. And I welcome to do more. We should do more of this again. And in the meantime, I'm going to send you pornography by email.
Make sure it's of whoever that girl was whose name I've forgotten.
Camille Bell?
Yeah. All right, let's just
or
close this
Sandra
off
Bernhardt.
Before we go. Easy. Good night.